How are we all doing? I didn't feel very much love. How are we all doing? That's good. How are you, Cassidy? You're great. Cassidy's great. She's on school holidays. She's feeling fresh, ready for the second half of the year, excited by school and all that it offers. Yay! Are your bodies feeling good? Come on, give me some love. Are your bodies feeling good? Is that a weird question? Am I getting personal? Thank you. This is actually what I wanted someone to ask. Because you know how you have those conversations with people and it's like they only ask you because they want you to ask them back? High five to Addie. Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm sore, Addie. I'm feeling very sore. Why am I sore? I'm achy all over. My legs are hurting. I'm probably going to not limp around, but kind of walk real slow. But it's because I have a big announcement to make to everyone. It may shock some of you. It may surprise some of you. It may kind of come out of left field. Church, I'm playing football again. He's back. I had my first training session the other night. I haven't run in like a year and a half. The pain. So by the end of it, I was just like, oh, I was waiting for my hammy to just tear and hurt. And I want to talk to you. This isn't just because I want to brag and tell you why I'm playing football. This actually ties into my message. And it's about, I'm going to introduce it. We're going to talk about football now and we're not going to touch it again. So enjoy it. If you don't, oh well, too bad. And so the thing that I experienced about this football club is I went down the other night. I know three of these guys from school. No one else I've ever seen before in my life. I have no idea who the heck they are. And I walk in and there's just this immediate sense of welcoming. And they're all just like, hey, young fella, how you? Because some of these guys are like 30, 40. It's amateurs. It's like open grade now. So there's guys with like bald patches. There's guys kind of like, not in a bad way, just in a, I'm just giving everyone an idea of what's going on. And, but you know, it's like, but then they're giving me a run for my money. So I was like, flipping heck, I'm 21 and these guys are like, you know, they got no fear running in, just taking out a skinny little guy like me. But, so there's this sense of welcoming as I walk in. These guys have never met me before. They're like, hey, welcome, come on down. At the start of training, the coach says, you know, we've got a young guy over here, Jordan, yada, 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 yada. And all these guys are kind of like, hey, welcome, welcome. And there's this thing that I think that we as the church could actually learn from this. And, you know, we talk about it very much early on in Acts, but it's this sense of brotherhood and this sense of unity that I think, for good or bad, football clubs actually have down pat. Obviously, some of them have a few issues with what they do and their culture and all that. But they're, in terms of like their brotherhood, their sense of community, and when someone comes in, they are so welcoming and defending of this person that it's like, hey, touch him and I'll kill you in a good way. So is that cool? Can we use that as a good kind of illustration to begin? We don't have to be all churchy all the time. I can use examples outside. But shall we pray and then we'll get into it? Is that cool with everyone? Awesome. Lord, I thank you for tonight, Father. I thank you for this wonderful Friday in July. I just pray that as I would begin to speak, Lord, these would be your words, Lord. This would just be anointed by you. And that, Lord, that hearts would be ready to receive, Lord. Hearts would be open. And this would just be a thing of timing. It would be what people need to hear at this point in their life. Amen. Sweet. So last week in youth, I preached about, Jesse, do you want to flick us the slide? Jesus is all about community. So as I spoke earlier on this year, I told you that in youth we were doing a series called Jesus Is, followed by something. Jesus is the hope of the world. Jesus is the servant of all, followed by something that Jesus was all about. And I had three key points for my guys. And obviously, this is almost like a part two, but I'm giving you guys the summarized Spark Notes version. If you don't know what Spark Notes is, it's like Savior in year 12. When you don't read the book, you just get like summary, nail your exams, you're good to go. I did it. And so my first point was Jesus is all about community. And my first point was Jesus came to influence community. He actually came into situations that were hopeless and void of any possible future, and he actually brought something into that. He inserted himself into communities. He didn't kind of stand off and apart as, hey, I'm the savior of the world, you guys stay over there. He actually came, he got involved with them, and he started to change their world. He experienced with them, he brought faith, hope, and love to every community he touched. Not just one or two, but every single community. The second thing was Jesus came to build community. And they say that the five people you spend the most time with is who you will become. The five people you spend most of your time with, you will eventually become. So I'll let you guys think about that for a sec. Think about the five people you spend the most time with. You're going to be like them. Is that a worry? I saw some of my youth's faces last week and they're like, whoa, that's scary. And so Jesus came. He came and he built community. He performed miracles. You know, his first miracle was at a wedding. He served his community. He served. I think that the fact that Jesus served is actually a big deal. I think a lot of the kind of going thought in church is that we can kind of get away from serving because we've done that in the past, or we've kind of, you know, I think serving is always something that is essential to church. And my biggest takeaway from Jesus serving is, if Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the absolute Savior of humanity, was able to wash the feet of 12 stinking disciples, then who am I to complain about washing dishes or helping mop the floor? Usually because I've made the mess. But yeah, that's a big thing for me. And Jesus actually came to send community. So he came, he brought them in, he inspired them, he taught them, and then he sent them out. And Jesus came for 3.5 years, right? Or, sorry, he didn't come for 3.5 years. His ministry was for 3.5 years, so from 30 to 33.5. He trained, he discipled, he taught, and then he said, go. Go into all the world. And so that was the Great Commission. And so that is the summarized version of last week, and now we're ready for tonight. So if you want to turn with me in your Bible to Acts 2:42, I didn't race through that too fast. We all kind of got through it together. We all got inspired by what I shared last week. Thank you. So Acts 2:42, the fellowship of the believers is the title of the paragraph. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were saved. I think that is one of the most awesome verses in the Bible. I think it's pretty amazing. And so I kind of did a bit of a comparison between that and the actual Great Commission. And so Jesus kind of gives them like, it's almost like a checklist of things that they needed to kind of go and do. Go out into all the world, baptize, teach, create disciples. Gave them a list of things they needed to do. And so this here, it's almost like a check of where they were. Or it gives us almost like a dot point of where they were. They hadn't quite gotten out into all the world, but they were going out and they were teaching. They were making disciples. They were fellowshipping. They had made a start. They were starting to build community. They were starting to build this whole idea of church. And so much of what the church actually is community. And so what is community? Someone, give me an answer. What is community? Wesley, what is community? A group of people, someone else. Gus, would you like to tell me what community is? Everybody around us? Someone else. Someone at the back. One of our back row rebels. What's community? Don't all yell out at once. That's good. That's very good. I looked it up in the dictionary, and Eunice almost like got it perfect for me last week, and I didn't even, like, she wasn't even prompted. A body of people living in a particular area, district, or county is what my dictionary defines as community. And what is church? We are a body of people that live in a particular area or district, united by what we believe. Church and community are very, very similar. And so how do we build and grow our community? We do what Jesus did. We do what the disciples do. Church doesn't just run from 7 till 8 on a Friday night. Church doesn't just run from 10 till 11:30 on a Sunday morning. The church is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks of the year. The church happens here. But the church also happens at Woolworths across the road. The church also happens in your house. In Sue's living room, the church is alive and well. Everything we do, everywhere we go out, as soon as we step outside these walls, the church is still alive. It doesn't die. It isn't restricted to these walls. The church is a living, breathing organism. I've got here, it also happens in the dairy section of IGA. Everywhere. It is not limited by anything. We are the church. You are the church. Sandy, when you walk out of here, you are the church walking. I am the church. It's kind of scary. It's more than the seats and the sound desk. It's more than these awesome lights and the drum kit. It's more than that bike and the keyboard. The church is bigger than what we restrict it to. It is enormous. And it's been running from the moment Jesus left until today, non-stop, constantly flickering flame. And so, what does us building our community look like? What does it look like? Well, it starts with us stepping outside our four walls. So can I have three volunteers? This is like a volunteer night. This is awesome. I want three people. If you give me a wave, I want some love. Addie, heck yeah, I'll take you. And Jared. And Sue, I want Sue. All right, so let's all pretend for a second that I'm Jesus. All right, let's pretend. Don't kick me out. Pretend. So I'm Jesus. Let's say these are the four, this is kind of what we're restricting our church to. All right, so Jesus goes out. He's like, oh, you, I'll take you. Come with me. You, come with me. You, come with me. All right, so I've got you guys. Now, let's, you know, like in the movies where you see like time and it flies by, it's like, and then you're like 3.5 years later. Imagine that just happened. I've been hanging out with these guys for 3.5 years. They've been living with me. They've been eating with me. We've been laughing together. We've been crying together. We've been on journeys together. We've seen big things. Imagine that. 3.5 years, right? Just imagine. You can assume we've seen 3.5 years. Now, what I want you to do, remembering I'm Jesus, is I want you to go and I want you to grab someone. Remembering everything I've taught you, I want you to grab them and I want you to bring them in. And I want you to do the same thing I've taught you for the last 3.5 years. Now go. Grab someone and bring them. Literally, go grab someone and bring them. Anyone. Say, hey. Say, hey, I got something real cool to show you. And then grab them and bring them here. And then 3.5 years, so pretend you're talking to them and teaching them and feeding them and all that sort of stuff. Because I'm gone. I'm not here anymore. I have left. You guys, you're missing something. You need to go. Keep going. You keep going. Everybody. Everybody. I want you to go and I want you to grab someone. No, no, just grab and then come up. So I want the second set. So where's the second or third set? I'm not sure. Let's Addie grab one more and then we'll sit tight. Dom, you're in. Dom, be happy. You're going to heaven. All right, so so if there's anything we can learn from this, the first two rows in church are always going to heaven. But this is what community looks like. This is what it looked like. This is what the early church was Jesus spending time teaching. Hey, come join me. Let me teach you. And sure, not everybody would have come with one or two people. Some may have brought more. Some may have got nothing. But this is community. Hey! Awesome. You guys can grab a seat. I just wanted to illustrate. That's what it looks like. It looks grabbing someone, inviting them along, telling them, hey, I've got something really cool to show you. I think you should come check it out. That's what building the church looks like. That's what community is. It doesn't have to be a weird religious thing that people get scared of. And so we can build community wherever we go. That doesn't have to be just inside the church. That can be in your house. You can begin to build and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. And speaking of the love of Jesus, that's where it needs to begin for you. For you to get a proper revelation of all these things, of community and of everything that Jesus actually stood for, you have to know him before you know anything else. Your serving in church can't be built on theology of serving. Your tithing can't be built on a theology of tithing. Your whatever it is in church, it has to come from a love of Jesus. Because out of that, everything comes. Jesus first, know him, be with him, and everything will flow. Out of a love for God, you'll tithe. Out of a love for God, you will serve. And you will serve with such happiness and such joy that it will just flow out of you. And I think it's interesting to note that out of all the things that Jesus disliked, so obviously Jesus was like, sin, boo. Sin was his number one public enemy. He hated sin. Hated it. It'd be a worry if he didn't, wouldn't it, Sandy? Sin, number one public enemy. Number two, religion. He hated religion. Because religion says, hey, you know what? It's okay to rock up in church and just go through the motions. Religion says that's okay. And Jesus does not want that. Because when you go through the motions, there's nothing real. You know, if I go through the motions, I'm welcoming on Sunday. Hey, Shane. How you doing? Yeah, good to see you. Tell me, are you ever going to want to step in church again if that happens? No. Hey, Shane, how you doing? It's so good to see you. That's probably a little bit over the top, and I'd never be, but you know what I mean. Out of a love for Jesus, everything else will flow. And how do we know that our relationship with Jesus is legit? 100% good. How can we test it? John 13:34, as Jesus is predicting Peter's denial. Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. How do you know that your relationship with Jesus is real? You will love people. People that don't deserve, don't deserve your love. I don't know if I worded that correctly. People that you may not like, you will love them. You will put aside their imperfections. But it might not be an imperfection, it might just be, my deal. Might just be something like, you know. But you know what I mean? Out of a love for others, you will love. No, out of a love for Jesus, you will love others. I think that's pretty cool. I think that's very cool, to be honest with you. And so how do we build our community? With love. With love, we will build our community. I spoke last week that the one thing that just amazes me constantly about Jesus is the fact that he loved. He loved the unlovable. The people that had never in their entire life experienced love, they experienced it with him. The guy on the side of the road that people had just kicked by for the last 20 years, Jesus like literally went up to them. He would like hug them and he would say, you know what? I love you. You have a place in my house. He would do things that no one had ever done. And he loved the unlovable. Not just the people that smelt nice and had money and had fast cars. He loved known prostitutes. He loved known sinners. He loved tax collectors. He loved everybody. And so community makes up so much of what the church stands for. It makes up so much of what Jesus stood for. And we either underline or undermine everything Jesus did by our actions. Do we underline the fact that he called for us to love? Because we are his representatives in the world. Whether we realize it or not, we are his representatives. And do you underline or do you undermine the fact that he said, I want you to love everyone? Not just the people that are easy to love. He wants us to get out of our cliques and get out of what we're used to, and he wants us to love. And so can I have Yana come and play? Because I've run a little bit over. I'm sorry, everybody. But I hope that's okay. So this isn't so much of a salvation call for you, but it's a, I kind of want you to spend a moment and just think. If you just want to close your eyes, you can. If not, that's okay. But I want to ask you is, how can you be a part of our community? And I'm not talking about just what we do on a Sunday or a Friday night, but how can you be a part of everything you're a part of? A whole lot more. What can you do to change lives? Is it serving people? Is it helping them out? Is it talking to them? Is it giving people hugs? I honestly think that could be what some people could be called to do. Stand out and just hug people that have not been hugged in years. To be a father to those that don't have fathers. To be a mother to those that don't have mothers. What can you do to build our community? What can you do to help the next generation? Is it mentoring? Is it, what could it be? Is it getting rid of gossip from your life? Instead of gossiping about someone, is it saying, hold on, I need to pray for them instead of bad mouth? What is it? So I want to offer you an invitation to meet the real Jesus, to meet the Jesus of love, to meet the Jesus that doesn't want religion, he doesn't want those issues, he doesn't want that stuff to come up. He wants something built on love, on the strongest foundation of all, on everything he stood for, love. Because above all else, his message was, I love you. And he wants to send you into the world saying the exact same thing. Because some people will never hear the gospel. Some people will never hear someone preaching. Some people's only ever experience of Christianity will be you. Maybe you need an opportunity to just refresh and restart. So if you feel like anything I've kind of said has stirred your heart, then I'm just going to offer up the front here. If you want to come and stand and just get some prayer, that's cool. And if for the very first time you've never met this Jesus guy before, but what I've said sounds pretty good, you want to meet this love for the first time. You want to feel that in your heart. Something legitimate, not something that's fake and kind of lasts for a few weeks or a few months, but something that is going to last forever. then this is your time. To know love above religion. To know love above the law. To experience Jesus in his raw form. If there's anyone like that, could you just give me a wave of your hand with every head? If every head can now bow and every eye can close. If anyone's heart's being stirred, if you can just give me a wave. That would be cool. Awesome. Just spend a few moments just thinking about Jesus and what he did, about the cross, about the sacrifice, the greatest showing of love I've ever heard of. If you've ever felt unloved, he offers you love. Awesome. I'm going to give everyone another 30 seconds. Then I'm going to close it, and then if you want prayer, you can come get it.